Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Living Hope. We like to begin our services with this greeting Christians have been using for pretty much forever. The Lord be with you. Thank you. We really do believe that. We believe that the Lord is present with us to encourage us, to help us. Whatever it is that we walk in needing today, our Lord Jesus is here to help us. So let's bow our heads and pray as we begin. Thank you, God, for this time and place that we get to come together to focus our hearts and our attention on you. You know, God, that we need this. We need a chance where we can step away from the busyness and the other things in life, where we can just bring ourselves to you, the God who loves us, where we can be reminded that we're not in this alone. We can be encouraged by our brothers and sisters who come alongside and encourage us and pray for us. Thank you, God. We pray that in all we do today, in our songs, our prayers, in the scriptures at your table, that we might encounter you, that we might meet the God who loves us. You've shown us this love in your Son, Jesus Christ. So it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Well, if you'd like, let's stand and let's sing.
Jesus says in Matthew 6, verses 31 through 33, "So don't worry about these things, saying, 'What will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear?' These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need."
Would you bow your head with me? Thank you, God, for being a God that we can trust, a God who we can come to in our times of need. And well, we see it over and over again in Scripture, and we see it in our own lives, that God, when people cry out to you, you don't ignore us. You hear our cries. You come down to rescue. You're a God who knows us, who loves us, and you care about our daily lives. That's why today so many of us come to this worship service hopeful that we can bring to you our daily worries and concerns and needs, and that you hear us. You love us. You can do something about our circumstances. You can give us hope where we have felt hopeless. You can comfort us where we have been grieving. You can heal us where we've been broken and hurting. You can forgive our sins. You can guide us through the confusion. Peace in place of anxiety and fear. Thank you, God. Thank you for being a God who loves us, for being a God who is with us. Thank you. Help us to have hearts and minds open to you today so that we might be changed by our encounter with you, so that as we sing to you and pray to you, as we listen for your Spirit speaking through the Scriptures, as we are fed by your Word, by your Spirit, that we might be transformed. Thank you, God. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's extend that peace to each other. Let's shake some hands. All right. Good morning, everybody. I got to say, before the service started, I was back in the kitchen preparing the communion elements, and we were getting close to service time, and I could hear kind of the crowd noise or whatever. I could hear you guys talking to each other, and I just thought this morning that was a beautiful sound. Because it means you guys care about each other, you're welcoming each other, and I don't know, maybe you've walked into different churches where it's not like that, where people just kind of like, stay out of my way, don't sit in my seat, get, you know, just let me come do my prayer thing, and then I'm going to go. And you guys are not that kind of church, and I'm grateful to be your pastor. Okay, if you, I hope you got one of these when you came in, a little welcome bulletin, lets you know some of the different things going on, and inside there, of course, is that welcome card where you can share a thought or a comment or a question or a prayer need or anything like that with us. Just make sure it makes its way to the offering box before you go. And of course, if you're giving today, you can do that there too, or you can give online like we do. Any of that stuff works. Thank you to those of you who brought in your Operation Christmas Child boxes this morning. If you forgot, or if you just never had a chance to go shopping and you want to give one of these boxes, you can join me and Stacy. We didn't go shopping for anything either. And so I'm going to go to their website this afternoon. And I think it's in your notes there, in your bulletin. You can just go to their website, and they will pack a box for you. You just pay them. You make a donation, and they put together a box, and they send it off for you. So if you didn't have a chance to do that, or you just weren't interested in going shopping and filling a little shoebox, you can still donate and be a part of this if you would like. So that's there for you. And I think is it tonight, this Aspire event? It is tonight. There's a women's event over at Heartland Christian Center. There's been a thing out in the foyer. I'm pretty sure Jules Ahern still has a couple of tickets. So ladies, if there are any of you interested in going to this tonight, stick around long enough to see Jules when she comes in for the next service and ask her if she's got a ticket. And next Sunday, there's a fundraiser going on in the evening for Sammy, is that right? There's a poster out there, but Mary Svelbar has some tickets with her today. If you want to buy some, she's got a handful. She's waving them at you back in the back. So see Mary before you go if you want to help that family with their medical costs and hear the Svelbar family band. Are you guys going to play? Were you able to wrangle El Chupacabra into? Okay. Good. You think so? Is that, okay. They don't have much of a choice. All right. I think that was all the big announcement type things I needed to say today. All right. So you've got some notes in there for this morning's message, and it starts with a reminder from last week that we're talking about money last Sunday, this Sunday, and next Sunday, and we're not just talking about the dollar bills in your pocket or the number on your checking account. We're talking about wealth, possessions, stuff. Usually, when the Bible talks about money. Money has changed culturally over the generations, over the millennia. And so it's not just talking about like the coins that Rome minted and that they had to use to do business. It's talking about your stuff, your possessions. And last week we were talking about taming the money monster. If you missed it, you can listen online. And how money is a monster when it wins the battle for our attention, for our affection, for our allegiance. Money is a rival God, can be that, can try to drag you away from what God wants for your life. You know that verse, the love of money is the root of all sorts of evil. And that is true. God wants you to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. God wants to be the center of your attention. God wants your heart to be focused on him. God wants your allegiance. And anything that pulls your attention, your affection, your allegiance away from God, that starts to play the role of a monster, of an idol in your life. So last week, to tame the money monster, I need a new perspective that it all belongs to God and I just manage it. That's what we're talking about today, how to be a good money manager, how to manage the stuff that God has entrusted to us. If I think of it that way, that this isn't my stuff, it's God's stuff, and he's just placed it in my hands for these few years that I have here on the planet, and I better manage it well, and I better listen to him about what he has to say about it, that changes the way you think. It changes the way you approach your financial decisions. It forces you to have to think about those financial decisions. You can't just go with the flow anymore. It's like, wait. This has been entrusted to me. I have a responsibility here to manage this well. Whether I manage this well or poorly is going to make a difference to what my master thinks of me. I mean, he has expectations. God has expectations for what I do with this stuff. He's placed it in my hands for a reason. So I better manage this stuff well. It also helps us to realize that I can trust him, that God is watching over me. I'm not just left on my own to try to make this work, that God is entrusting things to me. God is giving these things to me. He's giving me opportunities to work, to earn it. He's giving me resources. And so I don't need to be afraid because God is watching. God is a part of this whole thing. And so when it comes to the nitty-gritty, what do I do differently? Last week we talked about gratitude, finding ways to thank God for all the things that you have, which leads us to contentment and to peace, and generosity, which leads us to freedom and to joy. Giving generously. Now, next Sunday is going to be all about the generosity piece, all right? So if you have questions about giving, shoot them my way this week so that I can try to answer them next Sunday. Where should I give? How much should I give? Do I have to give to the church? We're going to address those things and how to be a generous person with your life, not just with your resources, but with your life. And then, of course, the week after that is Thanksgiving weekend. I'm thinking gratitude might come up. But today is all about the managing piece of it. You might remember last week we shared this verse with you from Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Everyone comes naked from their mother's womb, and as everyone comes, so they depart. We don't bring it with us, and we can't take it with us. We start out naked, and we're going without anything in our hands. So in the meantime, it's been entrusted to us. All right? What do we do with it? The book of Proverbs is great for this. In fact, I was looking back, a couple years ago, we were making our way through the Bible, and we spent a month on the book of Proverbs, and there was a message in there about money, and I just looked at all the different things that Proverbs says about money, and actually, I couldn't look at all of them, because there's just too much in there. Proverbs is full of all these little bits of wisdom, that when you look at life, like, this is generally true, and in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 5, it says, good planning and hard work lead to prosperity, but hasty shortcuts lead to poverty. Get-rich-quick schemes. They just don't work. Hasty shortcuts. And unfortunately, some of us, when money has been a monster and we're trying to get out from under that, we're trying to escape from debt, we're trying to actually build some savings, we're trying to be more responsible, sometimes we fall prey to the hasty shortcuts. Today is not a day of hasty shortcuts, all right? While we're going to talk about some practical stuff, and if you have questions, I hope you'll shout them out. As we're making our way through this, this is not get-rich-quick stuff. This is not how to get your money under control in just three simple steps that you can handle all this afternoon, all right? This is changing some patterns, changing some mindset, changing the way we approach stuff. It's going to take some planning and some hard work. It's going to take some attention on your part. It's going to take some things that have just been subconscious, unconscious. You've not thought about them. You've just kind of gone through life financially doing what you've been told, doing what you've been shown, doing what you've always done, and it's gotten you to where you are, and if you don't like that, well, guess what? You might have to pay attention. You might have to, some things, some habits might have to arise to the surface of your consciousness and go, wow, I did not realize I was doing that. I didn't realize I was spending money like that. I didn't realize that that's why I kept going out and buying those things, because I've got this thing going on in my heart that needs to change. If you want to skip to the end, and some of you are like, yes, please, let's skip to the end. Let's get to the point. Just skip to the end. On the back, at the very bottom, you see there are what's normal and what's best. These two little lists contrasted. There are only so many things you can do with your money. And that's what we're talking about today. And some of you are like, oh, man, you're looking at the outline like, I've heard him preach this message before. Well, yeah, because there's only like five things you can do with money. So how creative can I get with it? What's normal is we spend it first, right? That we spend it, we put it on credit, we you know, however, before we ever earned it, we've already spent it. We see something we like, I'm like, ooh, I can afford those payments. And we spend the next, 5 years worth of paychecks in one little transaction. And then the next thing you know, the cat bumps the TV and it breaks and you still are paying for it. Now it's broken now, but oh well. Normally we spend it. We prioritize the present enjoyment. We spend it first and then we hope we can earn enough to repay it, which is number three, things we've already spent. And then if there's anything left over, we save some for the future. And if there's anything left over after that, we might give something away. That's kind of the normal pattern that our culture sets for us. Now, fortunately, some of these things are changing. Some of you guys, you have money taken out of your paycheck automatically for savings, for a retirement thing. That's a beautiful thing. And so some of you, yes, you're actually saving some before you have a chance to spend it. Good. Good. That's a step away from what's normal and into what's best. All right? The best way is to, just earn it first, I guess. And then prioritize the forever, the major difference. Give first, and then save. And then you repay whatever debts you might owe, and then you enjoy it. Then you can really enjoy it today because you have a chance to. You get to spend it well. All right, that's what we're going to do today. We're going to walk through those five things, basically, and hopefully give some practical stuff from Scripture, from experience, on how to do that well. Some of you might have great ideas on this and want to share them. That's okay. We can do that, all right? I'll try not to just talk for the next half hour so that there's room if you want to share a thought or if you have a question, you can shout that out. Sound good? Not too intimidating? Because I know some of you have been mastering your money for quite a while and it is going well for you and you have some wisdom to share. But the first one there, and I think we've got these on the screen if you want, just so that you can fill in the blanks, is to be diligent about earning a living, earning income. To be diligent about this, to do this well. Bye, enjoy the Bears-Packers game. I hope you don't get too soaking wet. Sorry. This is my wife's birthday present from Katie. She bought her tickets to the Bears-Packers game, and so they're hoping not to just get drenched and frozen, and we'll see who wins. Who knows? Obviously, if you saw their jerseys, they're cheering for different teams. All right. Be diligent about earning an income. Basically, you got to have some money coming in order for money to go out, right? And the diligent part is what Scripture talks about. Like, let's go ahead and apply ourselves to this. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as working for the Lord, not for human masters. Which I know is a challenge for some of us because our human masters really stink. All right? Our boss is not the best. And so we would love to see the boss. We don't want to make the boss look good. We don't want to work hard because we think, man, if I do well, then no one's going to ever know what a terrible manager this person is. You know, they're not managing the team well at all. Well, the Bible says, no, you don't undercut your terrible boss. You go ahead and you work well. You're diligent because you're working for God, not just for other human beings. And generally speaking, again, not always, but generally speaking, that diligence will be rewarded. People notice that. Your boss's boss is going to eventually clue into the fact that your boss is terrible, and they're going to look and they'll say, oh, but you know what? That employee is doing really well. You know what? In spite of having a terrible manager, that person has really stuck to it and applied themselves. Who knows where that might lead, all right? So be diligent about earning income. And Proverbs 13 is the one that actually mentions get-rich-quick schemes. Wealth from get-rich-quick schemes quickly disappears. Wealth from hard work grows over time. I know that it's tempting to say, boy, to buy that lottery ticket and just think, all right, here we go. You know, like, or to buy into that multi-level marketing thing and think, you know, this is going to be, you know, I'm going to be the exception. I know they've got the little small print saying these results are not typical, but I'm going to be the exception. I'm going to be the one that makes it big. Maybe. You know, I'm all for entrepreneurship. I'm all for starting something new. In fact, maybe for you, your income is the kind of thing that, like, maybe you're going to have to start something new. Maybe you're going to have to approach your boss and get a raise. Maybe you're going to have to do something different in order for your income, the income side of the equation, to change. Last week, I mentioned that when you're buried in debt, it's like walking up an escalator with two heavy suitcases. You know, it's always pulling you the other direction. And at least if you're not buried under debt, maybe you're just running on the treadmill. You know, I mentioned, like, money is a monster when we have no margin, and we're just paycheck to paycheck. You know, we're barely making ends meet, but you got to keep running. And if something trips you, you're going to shoot off the back of that treadmill, just like they do in all the funny videos. The idea here on the income side of things is that you've got two parts to this. Money comes in, money goes out, right? Sometimes you can control the money going out part. You can lower your expenses. You can create some margin by downsizing something, by eliminating that, you know, that cable bill, or getting a cheaper cell phone plan, or talking to your insurance company and getting cheaper insurance. All those kinds of things that you can do to shrink the expense side of the equation. But some of you have probably done all that you can on the expense side of the equation. You have cut, you have cut, you have cut, and anything less, you're like not going to be eating nutritious food anymore, you know, or you're not going to actually have a roof over your head. So if you've already trimmed all your expenses you can and you're still running on that treadmill and you're going to have to start focusing on the income side of things, all right? There are hundreds of ideas out there for ways to make income. Be diligent about that. Maybe you need to focus on the income side of things. Some people, you know, they actually get out there and they find a roommate that helps pay for their housing. You know, that's income you maybe didn't think about. Like, wow, yeah, I've got this extra bedroom. It's just holding all my junk, you know. I had a roommate, you know, back in college. I guess I could have a roommate again. You know, you do what you got to do in order to get yourself out of a hole if you're in a hole. If you've not been managing it well up to this point and your financial life is in chaos and you realize I've cut all I can, I need to grow my income, get creative. Stay honest. You know, don't do something dishonest. Don't try to get rich quick, but think creatively about what you might do on the income side of things. Maybe I should just ask, anybody that's got a thought on the income side of things, something that's worked well for you and you've had to do this? Anybody that wants to share a little bit of wisdom or something? Or a bit of experience? Okay. All right. Just checking. Just tossing that out there. All right. The second one is put God first by giving generously. Put God first by giving generously. I'm not spending a lot of time on the income one because our situations are all so very, very different. But if that's something you need to do, do it. Put God first by giving generously. Proverbs chapter 3 says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. The idea is put God first, the first fruits. Now, a lot of what we have in the Bible about money comes from the Old Testament. I just had somebody ask me the other day about tithing. We're going to talk about giving generously next week, so we're not going to dig into all of this today. But in the Old Testament, when they lived in this agrarian society, when they would have their harvest, they would, the people of Israel, the commands that God gave them was to give the first fruits, the first part of the harvest, the first tenth, would go to God. The first and best is the idea. You give God the first and the best. Because then if they had animals, they would give every tenth animal. And that animal is expected to be in good shape. You didn't give God, you didn't line up your animals. We're like, okay, every tenth animal's got to be the sick and lame one, you know, because every tenth animal we're given to God. You didn't offer God the sick and the lame. You offered God something of value, an animal that actually was going to make some money at the marketplace, that was going to actually provide food for the family. They were expected to put God first by giving generously to God their first and their best. And what this would do then would, it would provide for the poor. The harvest would be collected in the storehouse in the temple, and that would then provide for those who had no land, had no income, because they had no harvest, or they didn't have any animals. Animals were often offered to God in sacrifice, which then would help feed the priests and those who worked at the temple, the religious leaders. You put God first by giving generously, and in the Old Testament, that meant a tithe, a tenth, plus other offerings they were expected to give at different times as part of festivals and feasts and celebrations. Now, in the New Testament, I know a lot of us have just kind of carried that over. We said, okay, well, we don't harvest anymore. I don't get my income once a year at harvest time. I get my income in a paycheck, you know, every other week or however that works. And so I give to God my first and best part of that paycheck, and I give God a tenth of my paycheck. And maybe you've been a part of a church. I know some of you have been parts of churches that took this very seriously. And in fact, the only time you ever heard from that church, if you were gone, was when they were curious where your money went. And for some of you, that was very hurtful. You were gone because life was not going well and you were not reached out to. Instead, they just were like, hey, we haven't seen any money from you in a while. Come on, you want to stay a member, you got to keep giving. We are not that kind of church that is going to chase your money. But in order for church to function, we all have to give. Right? It's structurally, a church is a not-for-profit organization, and we have the same bills, you know, that any not-for-profit has that owns a building and wants to do work in the world. You guys have decided you want a full-time pastor in me. You've decided you want a couple of part-time folks in Scott and Julie, and to pay, you know, people, we all give. You can put God first by giving generously to the church. You can put God first by giving generously to people in need. That's the Bible, when it talks about giving to God, oftentimes what's happening there is you're giving to God by giving to the poor. And I just mentioned even giving to God in the Old Testament, a part of that was to provide for the poor. And in the New Testament as well, people would give to the apostles and they would distribute it to people as they had need. Jesus tells a story in Matthew chapter 25. It's a parable about how things are going to go at the end of time when the king gathers everyone together in front of the judgment seat, that judgment day we were just singing about in that Hank Williams song. And Jesus says that he himself will be the king who is judging the people of all the nations. And it turns out that he cares about whether or not they fed the hungry and clothed the naked and visited those who were sick and in prison who had nothing. And Jesus tells them, the king, he says, the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. And so the king ends up judging people on how they treated him. Did you treat me well by caring for the poor and the sick and the homeless? Or did you ignore me and walk on by me? And maybe you gave very generously to your church or something, but you ignored the needs of human beings right in front of you. And Jesus is saying, when we do it for the poor, we're doing it for him. Now, I grew up doing this. I was thankful. Christian parents who taught me that when I got a dollar, I put a dime in the offering plate on Sunday. And we don't pass plates here. We don't pass baskets. Yeah, I guess I would have dropped it in the box. Some of you, I've seen you do that with kids and grandkids, where they fill out a little offering envelope, and they write, and they put their money in, and they drop it. I'm glad I had parents who taught me that this is what we do, that we put God first, we tithe, we give generously. When you, some of you, I know, you're just sitting there thinking, 10%, that's insane. How can you give away 10% of your income and just, whew, it's just gone. I'm living on 100% of my income now. In fact, I'm getting a little further in debt every month, so I guess I'm living on more than 100% of my income right now. And you expect me then to give generously? You expect me to do that first? Well, yeah. If you give first and the money's not there to be spent, guess what? You don't spend it. You find a way to adjust your life. And as that Proverbs verse just pointed out, when you put God first, you find yourself somehow blessed in ways you weren't expecting. Now, I just got to say, I cannot be one of those TV preachers that stands up there and says, if you give, like God's a vending machine or something, you put in $100 and you're going to get out $1,000 or something like that. I've heard people say you tithe on the income you want to have someday, and so if you want to earn $1 million, you give $100,000 or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, I could never do that because God's not a vending machine, and life is messy. That reminds me, I handed out during the piece, I handed out to you a little handout about 4 different ways of viewing money. That's for you to look at later if you'd like. I'm not talking about that this morning, but it talks about how some people view money as just purely evil and they've got to just stay poor. Some people think it's all about the blessings. Some people just get sucked into the American consumer mindset. And then, I don't remember where I got this, but they, of course, the one that they prefer is the what they call the balanced biblical, theology. Which is basically what we're talking about today, that God has entrusted this to you to manage it and to be wise about it. Enjoy that. Take that with you if you'd like. There are little bits of truth, I suppose, to all 4, but the balanced one is the one that helps us to get this thing right. And so I can't fall into that that prosperity theology thing that just says, hey, seed faith, give to get. You give to God, you'll get back, you know. But there is something to this idea that when you're generous toward God, God is generous toward you. Now, I know that some of you have told me stories about this. In fact, just came up Wednesday night at Bible study. Some of you are saying, yeah, somehow I started giving. You know, they sat through one of these messages and they thought, okay, well, I'm going to trust God. I'm going to give. And they said, I don't know how, but somehow all my bills have continued to be paid. You know, and this was like 2 years ago that they started doing this. Somehow God has continued to provide for me. They started to get more hours at work, or their expenses went down somehow. The car didn't break down as often. I know there's one family in this church, they point to their old, really old car and say, yep, God has provided for us. They've kept this car running for 20-something years. I can't remember what it was. And felt like that was one way that God was honoring their generosity. All right, you got to be diligent about the income side. You got to put God first by giving generously. We'll talk about that more next week. And then you have to wisely save and invest for the future. Wisely save and invest for the future. Proverbs again says, the wise have wealth and luxury, but fools spend whatever they get. That's how the New Living Translation puts it. Several others say that the wise like accumulate these choice foods, fine goods, that they have these things in their house, but fools, what did it say? Gulp it all down, I think is how the one said that I was reading this morning. Just everything that comes, they just consume it. You know, and we live in a consumer-oriented society, don't we, that says, yep, I should just eat that now, and then I'll figure out how to pay for it later. It says, no, if you want to be wise, you don't eat it all. You don't consume 100% of your income. You actually save some. You set some aside. In another passage, Proverbs says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. Though they have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer gathering food for the winter. Says the ants and other animals somehow know, you know, winter is coming and I'm going to need some extra, you know, acorns in my tree, the squirrel says, or I'm going to need some extra layers of fat, the bear thinks, you know, and I'm going to have to save up now while I can, because there's going to be a time when it's not going to be there. There's going to be a time in your life where you're unable to work. If you're typical, you're going to reach some point in your life where you're going to retire. You're going to need to retire. You're not going to be able to work. Or you're going to have a health thing. You're going to have whatever. You're not going to be able to earn the income you once did. And if you haven't prepared for that time, things are going to be harder, right? Now, thankfully, we live in a society that just says we won't totally abandon you, and there are programs in place to help you in those circumstances. But those of you who are taking advantage of some of those programs and depending on some of those programs, you would probably testify to like, yeah, and it's not easy. You know, and you wish you had a little financial cushion that you'd saved up. The plan that I've recommended for years, it was recommended to me, that you can put there in your notes, the 10-10-80 plan that says I'm going to, of 100% of my income, I'm going to give 10% of it away, I'm going to save 10% of it for the future, and I'm going to live on 80% of it. That if you've been living on 100%, that you make that your goal, the 10-10-80 plan, and you find a way to begin to give a tenth away. You can give it to the church, you can give it wherever you want to give it, just as long as you give it, that's the important thing. I would encourage you, Well, okay, let me start there. The 10-10-80 plan. Give 10, save 10, live on 80. And again, I know for some of you, you're like, now you're really crazy. You're just telling me I got to get rid of 10%. Now you're saying I got to get rid of 20%. Well, you're not getting rid of that second 10%. You're paying your future self that 10%, right? Your future self, 10, 20, 30 years from now, is going to look in their bank account and they're like, oh, good, I've got money here. I'm not broke. And it's because you today is setting some money aside for that future you. All right? Boy, there could be some fun time travel stuff, movie made about that, I think. Anyway, the 10-10-80 plan. Give to God, set some aside for the future, and live on the rest. My guess is that if your boss came to you and said, times are tight, we got to either fire people or everybody's got to take a 20% pay cut. Well, you'd either go look for a new job or you'd find a way to make ends meet getting a 20% pay cut. What could you do to live on 80%? To begin to live, this is what it means to live within your means. It doesn't mean, hey, I've got a little wiggle room in the paycheck, I can buy that new thing on credit. That's not living within your means. Living within your means means I'm giving generously, I'm saving for the future, and I'm living on the rest. Now, I said if you're not doing this, that's a good place. I think that's a great place to start. I don't think you should stop there by any means. We haven't stopped there. Like I said, Stacy and I both were raised by great Christian parents who taught us to be responsible financially from the very start. So we were basically doing this from the time we were married. We were already doing the 10-10-80 thing. Well, at some point, God said, hey, you know, you can give a little more generously than that. And at some point, Stacy went from being a teacher to being an assistant principal to a principal to, you know, now she's a superintendent. She makes more now than she did when she was a teacher. We have more income. But we didn't need to just spend all that, right? So we give more and we save more. And now every year what we're trying to do is bump up those first two numbers. We try to keep them even. All right, so if when we at some point we said, well, you know what, let's plan to give 15% this year and save 15%, and we'll live on 70%. And then we hit 20, 20, 80. And I didn't look to see where, I think we're at 22, whatever the rest is this year. All right, and some of you are thinking, now you guys really are crazy, or Stacy gets paid too much, or you get paid too much. Wait a second, what's going on here, Pastor? It takes practice, all right? It means we made some financial decisions not to spend some money that we would have liked to have spent. Just ask Stacy about some of the improvements she'd like to see made to our house that we have not made because we, you know, we're trying to live within our means. The money's there. We could spend it today, but we're giving it or we're saving it for the future. Maybe you just step those numbers up every year by one. Right now, if the first two are zero, well, maybe this year it's 1,198, you know, or next year it's 2,296. I don't know. I don't know what you need to do. But you gotta prioritize the major difference, the forever difference. You gotta prioritize future you over present you. Delay some gratification. Save for the future. Now, if you just have zero self-control and you spend every dime that's in your checking account every month, guess what? There are apps for your phone. There are arrangements with your bank. You can set it up that every time your paycheck arrives, money vanishes from your checking account instantly. Not because you spent it, but because you transferred it to a savings thing. Or you transferred it to, you can set up giving automatically. You can do that same thing through the church website. You can give automatically. You can save automatically. And then you look at your checkbook and you realize, oh, I don't have that money to spend. And you don't spend it. You know, surprise, surprise. So, no one's just jumping out of their seat with, like, ideas or questions, so I'm going to keep going, all right? So, you're diligent about earning an income, you're putting God first by giving generously, you're wisely saving and investing for the future. Oh, which, by the way, saving, sure, could look like shoving money under your mattress. I would suggest at some point you get beyond that, all right? I would suggest that at some point you begin to invest that in something that will earn you a reasonable amount of return so that your interest can start earning interest. And you know it works like that with credit cards because you've seen it happen. You bought something for $100 and you ended up paying $500 for it because you took 5 years to pay for the thing and you paid interest on the interest on the interest. It works that way in the positive side too. You know, you can save money and then have it, you know, earn interest on the interest on the interest. So at some point you don't just save, you start to invest. And so number four is faithfully repay your obligations. You know, if you've already obligated yourself because you put something on credit, you know, you got that car loan, or you've got your mortgage, or you owe some taxes, or whatever it is, faithfully repay your obligations. Romans 13 says, give to everyone what you owe them. Pay your taxes and government fees to those that collect them. Give respect and honor to those who are in authority. Owe nothing to anyone except for your obligation to love one another. He says, look, you don't want to be in debt. You don't want to always be owing somebody something, where they're always having to come after you, like, hey, are you ever going to pay that bill? Hey, are you ever going to pay that off? Faithfully repay your obligations. Some of you are experiencing right now what Proverbs chapter 22, verse 7 says, the borrower is slave to the lender, and you feel that. Like, man, until I get these student loans paid off, it's just going to be this monkey on my back. Until I finally get that credit card paid off, they're going to keep on bothering me. And you feel like you've been enslaved to those lenders. There are all sorts of different plans for paying that stuff off, whether you start with the highest interest, credit thing, or the lowest one, or whatever. Get a plan and start to stick to it. Prioritize this. There's this one blogger that I like to read. Funny name, Mr. Money Mustache. He's kind of obscene sometimes too. So anyway, if swearing bothers you, don't go to his blog. But he talks about debt being like a hair on fire emergency. You don't want this, and you need to do everything you can. And so he encourages people, sell that car you're driving. That's just ridiculous. Go buy something used and reliable and get yourself out of this debt. So that then you finally, finally I'm not trying to lug those two suitcases up the down escalator. Finally, I'm just running on a treadmill. Finally, I'm starting to make some progress. Faithfully repay your obligations. Now, I understand that some of you have had to file for bankruptcy and you feel guilt over this, all right? You got yourself buried so far you could not. There was just no other way out. And if you are carrying around guilt for that, I don't know what to tell you other than try to get over it. Try to forgive yourself. Ask God to forgive you if you feel like you were sinning in that way, but it's done, all right? The bankruptcy protection laws are there for a reason, to protect people who get under such a huge burden that there is no realistic way they can ever dig themselves out. And so if you had to go through that, quit feeling guilty about it. Quit focusing on the past and start focusing forward. But anyone who's been through that will tell you it is not something you want to do unless you have to. So don't be counting on that either. Faithfully repay your obligations. And if this is something you struggle with, again, you're going to have to get some conscious attention focused on your finances, aren't you, in order for this to happen. You don't just suddenly get out of debt by accident. Like, wow, what happened? No, you're going to have to make some conscious choices about your spending, about your income, about... If you need help with these things, please talk to me. Please write it on your welcome card. There are people in this church who have so much wisdom. They've been going through this. They've been learning stuff. They would love to share that with you. I would love to share with you. I would love to help you sit down and to make a plan and stick to it. Faithfully repay your obligations. And at some point, then you get on the other side of it. It's a great idea that I'm so glad somebody told us years ago, that when we finished paying for one of our cars, and we had that car payment every month, and looking forward to that being done, finally I have that money to spend. And somebody said, no, don't do that. They said, keep making your car payment, just not to the car loan company, pay it to yourself. Save that money, keep your car payment and just put it in savings and earmark that for the next car you're going to have to buy someday. Because someday down the road you're going to have to buy another car. And I'm so glad somebody told us that. So we repaid the obligations and then we just kept that money going into savings. That might be something you can try if you need to begin to save. All right, sorry, this popped in my head. I was thinking about paying bills. And number 5, be content and enjoy the rest. We talked about contentment a little bit last week. And when we express gratitude to God, it helps us to experience a little more contentment and peace. Ecclesiastes chapter 6, it's better to enjoy what we have than to always want something else, because that makes no more sense than chasing the wind. And we looked at these last week from 1 Timothy chapter 6. It says, true godliness with contentment is itself great wealth. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world. We can't take anything with us when we leave it. So if we have enough food and clothing, let us be content. And most of us, we have enough food and clothing. In fact, some of us, maybe you're like me, I've got this closet, I've got a limited amount of closet space. I feel like I shouldn't say much more because Stacy's not here for me to poke fun. So I've got a limited amount of closet space. And like 2/3 of that is clothes I almost never wear. Because I hate to iron, and I got to iron that shirt if I'm going to wear it. So I'll wear it some other time. Maybe I'll just wear the shirt I don't have to iron. And so I've got all these shirts I don't ever wear. Pants that don't fit me anymore and probably aren't going to. That are just sitting there, taking up space. And boy, I should really give some of that away. But we probably have enough food and clothing and could experience contentment if we weren't always looking at that thing we don't have and, oh, I wish I had that. Be content. Enjoy what you have. A few verses later, it says, our trust should be in God who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. Yes, there are times where you have to scale way back and you might have to cut to the bone and you're just chewing on the bones. You're like, okay, this is, but we're going to get out of that debt and we're going to get our house in order. But that's not the way God intends for you to live all the time. He does want you to be able to enjoy some of what he's entrusted to you. And the way you begin to get out of that hole, the way you begin to get free to do what God wants you to do financially is by getting these things in the right order. Prioritizing giving and saving. Learning to be content so you can enjoy what you have. I know there are some of you that you wish you could be more generous. And next week you're kind of dreading a little bit because you're like, oh, I already wish I could give more. And I can't. That's what this week is for. Because if you start to change things now, like I said, it's not a quick thing. But if you begin to make some financial changes now, then a year from now, you'll be in a better spot. And a year after that, you'll be in an even better spot. And you'll find yourself more free to do those things that you want to do, to give to those things you want to give to. There might be some of you that are like, man, I wish I could have filled a Christmas box, an Operation Christmas Child box. I just don't have that extra to do. Well, let's begin to build some margin into your financial life so that you can be as generous as you want to be able to be. That's a part of what it means to make wise financial decisions, to be a good manager of the money that's been entrusted to you by God. All right, I mentioned this is just going to be practical stuff, and some of you are like, yep, and it's the same practical stuff you told us before. Well, it's because it still works, all right? I mean, this is what I've done in my life, and it's what Stacy has done. It's what many of you have done, and the only thing I didn't say out loud that I feel like I should have is, as far as possible, make it automatic. You know, I guess I did talk about making the savings automatic and that kind of thing. Because then you don't have a chance to mess it up. So that's what we do. That's what I have to do. Because I'm not disciplined enough, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, to do it otherwise. So I got to make the decision now so that future me doesn't forget to pay that bill. Or future me doesn't forget to give that offering. I want you to be free to be able to do what the Holy Spirit of God is nudging you to do and not feel constricted by it. To not have this money monster clawing at your back saying, no. You can't give that because you got to do this. I want you to be free. So let's bow our heads and let's pray and ask God to help us to get free. Thank you, God. Thank you that these scriptures aren't just about our attitudes and our interior life, but you also give us just practical insight into the stuff like money. God, we believe that you have entrusted these resources to us and that we need to learn to manage them well. God, you know that for some of us today, we realize we've not been doing that. So today we just apologize. We admit that to you, that we've not been handling our financial life well. God, help us. Forgive us. And help us. Thank you, God, that you provided this help through the wisdom of others, through brothers and sisters in Christ here in this church who have been down that road and who have been able to get free and have been able to make progress. And God, I pray that you would help us to have the humility to ask for the help that we need, to get the encouragement and the ideas and the wisdom we need from each other. Thank you, God, that we don't have to just make this all up on our own, but that we can learn from each other. And thank you, God, that you, in all of our life, not just with money, but in all of life, you don't just leave us where we were, but you have this dream for who we can become. Help us to see, God, the person we can become and be willing to trust you and follow you into that future. You guide us so well, God. Help us just to say yes to you. God, on this Veterans Day weekend, we find ourselves grateful for those who have served us, and we give you thanks. It reminds me, God, that we are gathered here today because when you entered into our world in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ, you didn't come to be served, but you came to serve and to give your life as a ransom for many. We celebrate this servanthood of Jesus Christ in the sacrament of communion today. We offer you these gifts of bread and juice, and we pray that by your Holy Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood. Inspire us, God, by the life of Christ, by the lives of our veterans, by the lives of so many who live their lives as servants in serving professions. God, inspire us to live lives of service, to not put ourselves first, but to put you first and those around us. Fill us with the Spirit of Christ today, that we might live in this world like Jesus did, as the body of Christ, as the hands and feet of Christ. Why, to do that, God, you're going to have to forgive us from sins. You're going to have to wash us and make us clean. You're going to have to change some things in us. And so today we come to you, inviting you, asking you to please forgive us. Please change us. Please transform our thinking and our living so that we might look like Christ. Thank you, God. Thank you for giving us this sacrament where we can celebrate this in a tangible, touchable, tasteable way where we encounter your grace. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us to pray? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with this basket of bread and this cup of grape juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice and eat it, and return to your seat. This is open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. All of us who are turning our backs on sin and selfishness and turning toward the generous grace and love of our Heavenly Father. So today, if you're hungry for that grace, if today you're saying yes to Jesus, then you're invited to come and to celebrate. Thank you, God, for the love and grace you've shown us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for providing for us right up to this moment. Thank you for songs like the one we just sang. It reminds us that it's all yours. And you, we can trust you, that you will provide, and that you will help us to order our financial lives in such a way that we are free to be the people you called us to be as generous with these resources as you want us to. Thank you, God. Thank you. We are trusting you. Send us from this place full of your grace, full of your love, full of hope. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.